This is a News Laundry podcast, and you're listening to the Awful and Awesome Entertainment Wrap.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Awful and Awesome Entertainment Wrap with me, Dipanjana Pal, and
Rajashree Sen.
How she's batting her eyelashes while she says this. Anyway, scientists say that multitasking is bad for your brain. So sit back, ignore your phone, and let us take you through the weird and wonderful world of what entertained us this week and what didn't. So, Indian entertainment had a moment this week, with the international magazine Forbes including Shah Rukh Khan and Akshay Kumar, who'd a thunk, in their list of world's highest paid entertainers. Now, obviously, since we only worship toppers, my inner Auntie G came out with a vengeance when I saw Shah Rukh Khan was number 86 and Akshay Kumar was number 94, which sounds very unimpressive, but is it not a big deal, Rajashree Sen?
What's impressive is that they are part of Bollywood, which makes films in Hindi, which, contrary to what Bollywood and our government thinks, is a language which most people do not understand. So the fact that they've made it to this list is quite impressive.
And so, not just that, this is a list, like I was saying, it's topped by Taylor Swift, who earns, just take a guess how much she earns in a year.
I don't know, enough to pay for Hiddleston to be dating her.
I want a number, not a boyfriend.
I don't know. I only think of boyfriends when I think of Swift.
$170 million every year.
So then we have to give Shah Rukh and Akshay a little bit of credit.
Despite the fact that these are the people in the Forbes list, in local news, however, it was all Salman Khan. Sri, did you see Sultan?
Of course. I went on a weekend. I spent 3 hours of my life, which will not come back, watching Sultan being a wrestler.
Is that why you cried in the film?
So I, just for the record, I also cried in Chennai Express at one point. So
I also cried in Chennai Express, but for myself.
Out of sadness, yeah, for yourself.
Because there was a point at which I thought, I have a postgraduate education. I've read Tagore. I've read Nietzsche. This is not what should be my
why you
lot.
Didn't like that scene of that the dwarf in the jungle who speaks in a foreign tongue.
It was very Foucaultian.
Yes.
Yeah. Then anyway, coming back to Sultan,
which is directed by
Ali Abbas Zafar,
who has made
Gunde, my favorite film. Why? Because rarely have two oily shirtless men been
wrestled.
Filmed with such love
no.
and slow motion.
And again, they wrestled. So
it is the most homoerotic shot I have seen in Bollywood cinema.
Also, Ali Abbas Zafar took it upon himself to ruin Bengali women forever by showing Priyanka Chopra as a Bengali. It was all shot in Calcutta, right? And I don't know, the only thing Bengali about her was that she was wearing a sari. But okay, we won't get into Gunde. Now, Sultan, for people who have not seen the film, it's about a man, to put it in short, what the film's about.
It's about a man.
It's about a man.
It's about a man in a langot.
Yeah.
To be fair.
So you will get to see a lot of Salman Khan in a speedo. But he's basically a 30-year-old, that in itself is a stretch to believe.
Because but Khan is 50, if I'm not mistaken. He might even be a little older than that.
52, I think. Or maybe 50. 50 for sure. But he's 30 in the film. And he sees Anushka Sharma, who is a wrestler. And he decides a wrestler can only marry a wrestler, which is why he wants to be a wrestler. Which is why all of us have chosen the professions we have. Because we saw someone who we wanted to marry, who was a journalist. We said, let's
see, the problem is that you're a Bengali. He's a Haryanvi. The rules are different.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me something. Since you live in Haryana,
let's not publicize this too much. Okay, I'm on the edge. I'm on the edge of Haryana.
Did you think Salman Khan got his accent right?
So I don't really hang out with too many Haryanvis, contrary to belief. But you could make out that he hadn't got it right, because the guy who plays his best friend Govind in the film, Salman oscillates between calling him Govind and calling him Gobind. So dependent on what Salman feels like saying at that moment, he was saying. But one is the accent wasn't right. Two, he did not have a wrestler's body. As in, when he was winning his tournaments, there's just a lot of flab on that man. And there were some illogical parts which I didn't understand.
Really?
Some, like, other than that, he practiced for 1 month and he immediately started winning the world championship. And but he collects money. So he collects money for a blood bank. And this money is collected in little, like, piggy banks. You know, like, we have, like, different size piggy banks.
Actually, in Dalda tins.
In Dalda tins, there's that red piggy bank you get also and all. But all this money is kept in a cupboard. And he has 2.5 lakhs kept in that cupboard. My point is, if he had just put it in the bank, he would have got some interest on it.
You're
right?
So middle class.
That's
but
the
anyway,
problem.
Moving on. Okay, I had two problems with Sultan. Now, one thing that really worked very well for me in the film was actually the fact that despite all the problems that Salman Khan has, he cannot act. He evidently can't do an accent. He doesn't really believe in emoting. All of these are central problems. And the film had very good people in the supporting cast, right?
Yeah.
His friend Gobind, whatever his name was. Even Amit Saad, who was the promoter, whose character actually made no sense whatsoever. But anyway, still, Amit Saad, Randeep Hooda, Anushka Sharma, all of these guys.
And his father-in-law.
His father-in-law, Kumud Mishra. Played by Kumud Mishra. It's a very strange thought to think of Kumud Mishra actually as Salman Khan's father-in-law because he's the father of a very sweet little boy. But anyway.
Poor thing.
Excellent supporting cast. And yet, despite the fact that he cannot act and has all of these issues, Salman Khan does actually keep the film together.
Yeah, so this is something, I'm no fan of Salman Khan at all. I'm very scared of being in Bombay because I feel, just in case he has read my articles, he's one day going to try and run me over. But he is, like, when he's on screen, you realize what a star he is because he just has to come on screen and everybody else pales. Like, they almost move backwards. And it's really sad for someone like, say, a Randeep Hooda or a Kumud Mishra and all, who are brilliant actors, or even the guy who plays his friend.
Anand Sharma. Yeah,
but he has tremendous star presence. And the other thing I've realized, whether it's a coincidence also, he has a habit of committing crimes or being embroiled in a controversy or the other with great regularity. But last year when the verdict came out, the Bombay verdict, and he got a lot of flack, like, you know, because the driver took the blame and all
the
that
driver
nonsense.
Didn't, yeah.
Yeah, they claimed that the driver took the blame. But within a month or two, Bajrangi Bhaijaan released. And this time, after his rape comment, this has released. And if you see Sultan, there's a lot about women's empowerment over here. So even his wife, who's a little illogical, because she's a state champion.
So Arfa, his lady love to wife, is a character that I actually thought was the most shortchanged in the film. Because you'd pick Arfa as the heroine of this story. Because she's the daughter of a man who wanted a son, but decided to raise his daughter as a champion anyway. She goes ahead and becomes
a champion wrestler.
Champion wrestler, a state winner, moves from Delhi back to Haryana to work with her father to train another generation while she is in her prime. Meets a man, is thwarted in her ascent because apparently family planning is not something they use in Haryana. But anyway, the point is that she becomes pregnant and therefore is unable to go ahead for not just any old team, but the Olympics team.
Yes, yeah, so that's where it doesn't make sense.
But the point is, even if you just stick to that illogical narrative, that is the real story. Salman Khan's is actually not the story.
But then this is Bollywood. So he's exactly. The star. Between Salman and Anushka, he's the one who's going to be the focus.
And this background became the setting against which he kept apologizing for being a misogynist and chauvinist, right? Every time he apologizes, he follows it up with, but it's your fault, to Arfa.
So I don't... I actually felt the ending of the film changed it around slightly in the sense that she is shown as getting back to wrestling and he is shown as being there while she is wrestling. So they show her get back into championship wrestling.
Sort of. I mean, we don't really see her compete or anything, but we see her wearing the jacket, which has to be
No, they show her going into compete and someone on the who's commenting says that look, her husband's come with her.
Yeah.
And then they show their daughter.
Right at the end.
At the end. They show their daughter again. No, so I just feel, first of all, this criticism that he's been given that, you know, Salman is just being a chauvinist in this film the same way he's a chauvinist in real life. I think people who are like critics, I've read articles like this, I don't know whether they cannot not be realizing that a film is fiction,
you know,
and Salman is a real person in real life.
There's a fabulous bit in a show called The Extras, written by Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
In which Ian McKellen is one of the stars, and he's got this moment where he says, you know, when I do Thou Shalt Not Pass in Lord of the Rings, how did I do it? Because they gave me the lines.
Yeah, so I think if just that is one thing, I never thought I would stand up for anything what Salman does, but to expect him to be to take his lines in a film to be his actual lines in real life is just being idiotic.
Sultan and Salman, both, the one place where they do kind of come together is that they're kind of icons of masculinity, right? Mm. Salman, though, definitely has been. Even when he did not have the body,
yeah,
he was still considered, you know, kind of the brave young thing. Once he got the body and started showing up in slightly cut-off denim shorts and things like that,
he invests
because, you know, that's what brings out the man in you, baby. Anyway, he's been an icon of masculinity, right? And possibly because I'd seen Alexander Skarsgård wearing the equivalent of a langote a week ago, I couldn't help but think about how different the ideal of masculinity is between Hollywood and Bollywood. Both of these films were showing a hero whose body was everything, right? The body is the reason you watch that film, pretty much, both case of Tarzan, because really that camera was loving every inch of Alexander Skarsgård's body. As it has to be said, was Sultan's. Like, I mean, good on us for liking cellulite.
Salman's, yeah, exactly. The slight difference between Skarsgård's and his body is that he had a full layer of fat, Salman, on his
So it's
back.
Also what it is that the man has to overcome to show his masculinity, right? Tarzan has, it was written also, the character, while it was written back in its original form, was also about the perfect man, right? His instincts are pure. He does the right thing. And there's an attempt to civilize him by Jane. But, and this was considered a huge sort of, you know, vicarious victory for Victorian men. Tarzan cannot be tamed. He remains slightly wild. Jane cannot civilize him entirely.
But Sultan can be tamed.
But Sultan can be tamed.
Because that is the wonder of the Indian man and Salman Khan, who has always claimed he just wants the right woman to agree to marry him.
So here's the thing. What tames an Indian man? Marriage and a woman. Who he's going to dominate, by the way.
Later, after that.
Afterwards. Who he'll thwart completely. Hmm. But she's the one who reins him in a weird way. She's like, she's the Krishna to his Arjun. Okay, what else have you watched this week?
So I'm a big fan of Netflix India. Because I'm lazy and I can log onto it from my laptop and watch films and shows. They have some really
good
stuff on it.
There's something so dubious about what
you
just
said. Yeah,
that
sounded really bad, but I mean it in a very clean way. They have this very good
show.
Yes,
dear listeners, we are a PG-13 show, despite what this sounds like.
Also, I have BSNL at home, so I can't log into anything because it's all blocked. As I found out, trust me. No, but Netflix India has some really good shows. It has this show called Master of None, which I think everyone
should
watch.
Great.
Which is Aziz Ansari. And but they also launched a film called, I think it was 4 to 5 days back. It's called Brahman Naman. The reason why I wanted to watch it was because it's a sex comedy, and I have a particular aversion to sex comedies coming out of India because they range from Great Grandmasti,
which is releasing this week.
Yes, to Masti Zade, to like it's horrible stuff.
Have you watched Kya Cool Hai Hum? All with K's.
Yeah, exactly. Kya Cool Hai Hum. So Brahman Naman is directed by a gentleman called Q.
Q has made some of the most interesting films, too, of this generation. Like his film that is named after an expletive, so I'm not sure.
No.
Everyone
we'll
close your eyes.
It's called Gandu.
Don't close your eyes. Close your ears. Uh-huh. It's called Gandu. It is shot in black and white. It's a slightly weird film, particularly the color section at the end. However, I really enjoyed it.
Okay, so I didn't.
He also did a Tashir Desh,
which was good.
Exquisitely beautiful and made no sense, but that's okay. It was very beautiful.
But this film does make a lot of sense. And what's nice is that, so if you have grown up in Madras or Bangalore or Calcutta, you know, cities which have a very strong quizzing culture in them, you will find a lot to relate to in this film. It's about three quizzers. It's set in the 80s. It's extremely well scripted. It gets the nuances absolutely right of the way quizzers speak to each other, where they just talk to each other in trivia. They think they are very funny themselves. Nobody else thinks so. They are not. They might be at the top of their game as quizzers, but ultimately all they want is to get laid. And the film is about these three friends who are quite obnoxious to other people. Other than quizzers, they are obnoxious to everybody else. And they just want to get laid. And it's about this, the various things they do to try and get laid.
But it sounds a little bit self-indulgent, is it?
No, not at all. It's actually very funny. It's very nicely written. The characters are cast extremely well. And most importantly, there is Sid Malia playing a jock. It's his first proper film release.
He must have had to act his pants off.
No, he actually he did have to act his pants off, because there's you get to see Sid Malia's penis and his ass, and you also get to see Naman, who's the main boy in the main character of the film, have sex with a ceiling fan, an aquarium, and a fridge. It starts with him having sex with a fridge, but there's far more to it. The music is out of this world in the film. Mm. It is very well chosen, very well curated music. So I definitely say watch it, because it's nice to see an intelligent sex comedy.
Yeah. And if you are in the mood for sex comedy, I would highly recommend that you go back and see the old hit, Shaukeen, which was one of the sweetest and funniest sex comedies ever.
Starring?
Shaukeen had Utpal Dutt, Ashok Kumar, and A.K. Hangal playing three randy old men.
Oh, of course, I've seen it.
You must have seen it. It's absolutely delightful. It also has Mithun Chakraborty and Rati Agnihotri. Mm. Who'd have thunk that they could, you know, be in this cast? But it is such a delight.
Aftab Shivdasani, Ritesh Deshmukh, and that other strange boy. Whoever the third one is.
Vivek Oberoi is the main name.
Oh, Vivek Oberoi. I always block him out of my mind.
You are not the only one. But anyway, these three men were spotted on the IFA stage?
No, on the red carpet first. So this is really, so IFA, for people who don't know, which it's okay that you don't, is the International Indian Film Awards. Now, why is it international? Because it is held in international venues. There is no other reason, frankly.
No, that's not true. Wasn't it last year? Was it the year before when Kevin Costner did the Lungi dance?
Yeah, then after that,
It was international.
No, Kevin Spacey.
Ah, sorry, Kevin.
Which broke my heart totally. But after
along
that,
along with John Travolta, if I'm not mistaken.
John Travolta, Kevin Spacey, Deepika Padukone, and Shah Rukh had done it.
Yay!
But this time, so you know that it's international because they go to different places around the world, and the actors just learn how to say hello in the language of that place. So
by which we mean English?
No. So they'll say when they are in Muscat, they'll speak, I don't know, whatever you speak in Muscat. I'm sorry, Muscat listeners. We apologize.
Okay, where was it held
this
year?
This was in Madrid. So they kept saying, hola Madrid, hola Madrid. Like by the end of it, you were like, please learn another word. Before the show, they had a red carpet. And this red carpet looks a little staged because when Vivek Oberoi stepped onto it, everyone started screaming in joy, looking at him. And then when Sonu Sood came on the red carpet, they started screaming even more. So there's something a little dodgy about
that. There
are
humans screaming for
and
them.
Indians, lots of Indians. And I don't know whether they've all been flown up from India because there are a lot of Indians in Madrid, it seems.
That's true. Also a lot of Bangladeshis and Pakistanis.
Oh, my brethren. I'm not Pakistani, Bangladeshi, just saying, just specifying before everyone starts tweeting abuses to me. No, so
yes, because that'll stop them.
Yeah,
but anyway,
of course.
Go on.
So the IFA usually does have a collection of stars. Say. So you'll have a Shah Rukh Khan there, you'll have a Akshay Kumar and so on. But this time, for some reason, they all decided to give it a miss. They said they've most probably been to Madrid, so they didn't want to go.
Or they couldn't pay them?
Or
they couldn't pay them.
That too. Or they weren't getting an award. Anyone who didn't get an award wasn't there, basically.
Which is actually a secret about Bollywood award shows that I think a lot of regular people don't know. That there is no Bollywood celebrity who will show up for an award
unless
they're getting an award.
Yeah.
So when someone, you know, when an actress says, oh, thank you so much, I totally didn't expect this. They're lying.
Yeah.
They kind of knew. That's why they're there. Worse is when they're like, oh my God, this is really great, but it really should have gone to someone else. But thank you so much for your support.
Exactly.
Lying again.
It's a lie.
They wouldn't have come if it had gone to the other person.
So over here, the only star, real star, so none of the Bachchans were there. Shah Rukh wasn't there. Akshay wasn't there.
So who was there?
Salman, because he was promoting Sultan. So he did the closing act of the show, which was a little worrying because you always feel bad for the dancers, because anyone who knows how Salman works knows that he doesn't really remember dance steps. So he supposedly makes them up if he forgets.
I can tell.
Yeah, so the Shamak Davar troupe behind him also needs to keep up with his imagination. But that wasn't the worst part. The worst part of this was that Tiger Shroff did a full dance performance, which was something like what we would do in class 8. Or like we wouldn't, but people we know would have
done.
But
did you have a 6-pack in class 8?
Oh, he has like a 10-pack. I think that's the only thing that he has.
No, he's very sweet and polite.
But we aren't giving him best boy in the crowd award.
But what were we giving him? Like, why
he
was
he nothing.
Dancing?
He was just dancing. And Suraj Pancholi was there.
Another
and
genius.
And he started crying while thanking Salman Khan. He said,
was he thanking?
He and Atiya Shetty, who is Sunil Shetty's daughter, got the award for best couple. Deepika Padukone was actually the main... The reason why you could have watched the show, because the best part of the show was her. And it's because she came on, she was of course looking stunning, but she came on and she spoke about her depression. And she said that a lot of people don't realize that the reason why I've been able to deal with my depression is because I'm also a sports person. And my father is a sports person, and he had taught me that he had taught me sports and told me to always have one sport which you do. And it's helped me to deal with failure or loss or success also in my life.
Deepika Padukone, in case someone doesn't know, is Prakash Padukone, badminton champion's daughter.
So what was also nice was there is, of course, it's all practice, the speech and all that. But it was nice that there's a slight attempt at humility where she says, my father, who many people may know, is a sports person. And she didn't say who her father was. But this all led up to the preview of her new ad, which is the Nike ad.
And it is a fantastic ad.
So the ad was... So there's one thing only which I had a... Like, I don't know if I'm splitting hairs over here. I do feel that using your own depression to be the base point of plugging an ad is I found it a little weird. It's your depression. It's her depression. So
you
it's
do
fine.
With it as you will. But I respect Deepika Padukone immensely for coming out and saying that she has a mental illness of any sort. Because very few people
also
are okay with that.
Also, to do it in front of her fraternity, a fraternity which doesn't talk about any weakness. Like whether it's affairs, whether it's failure in business, whether
just sadness,
nothing. They
simple
just don't.
Sadness.
They are perfect people. They have perfect marriages. They have perfect films. They don't hanker after success. So she at least comes across as human. But now to that ad.
It is a superb ad. I've seen it. Finally, I've seen an ad on TV that I want to watch. It stars real athletes, real sports people. And what a great soundtrack. How well shot it is.
So
great stuff.
It's been created by Whedon and Kennedy, India. And it's been directed by François Rousselet. And the song
is
really
foreigner.
Good. Not the direction will always... Nike will usually get someone from abroad. But who knows? But the song is sung by MIA collaborator Generation.
Hmm.
And it features the American rapper Gizelle. So we at least have learned about some rappers and so on. But what's nice is that it celebrates sports people. It uses real athletes. It's very quick and well shot. The women are fit. They are...
And they're so attractive. Like real people attractive, but not makeup attractive.
Yeah, so I saw this on Twitter a lot over today, actually, because this got... the ad was aired on during IFA, which is day before, and it got released yesterday.
By which we mean Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday, and it got released on Monday. So there's been a lot of criticism about, how come all the women are so slim and how come all the women are so nice looking. Now, first of all the women in that ad, other than maybe one or two, are all actual athletes. There's Rani Rampal, she's the women's hockey team captain. There's Harmanpreet Kaur, she is a cricketer. Then there's a footballer who is Jyoti Bharat. She is the footballer who's also won the SAF Cup. There's a squash champion, Joshna Chinappa. There's a surfer, Ishita Malviya. These are real people. They are not...
And
they
these
haven't...
are the bodies that you have to have if you're going to be
no.
a professional
so which
sports
is what
person.
I wanted to just point out to people who are saying, why are they so slim and why... You know, if you are going to be training for a sport, you are not Salman Khan that you will remain fat.
I do take the point, though, that if you are not conforming to a certain kind of aesthetic of slimness, it's hard to get on air for ads and stuff like that. That is true. But for the concept, that is Nike's concept. These were the best models you would find. They're real women with real bodies, which reminded me of something that you'd found. You'd shared it with me last week. This fabulous ad for a sanitary napkin by a company called Bodyform.
Yeah, so I think you'll find the link for it below. It's called the tagline is "No blood should hold us back." Again, they had ballerinas, they had swimmers, boxers and so on, women who are athletes or performing some sort of physical sport. And it doesn't romanticize either getting your period
or the sport.
It's gruesome. They show how you bleed, how you get scraped, how you hurt yourself. And the entire, again, that ad, it has a very nice soundtrack. Both these ads have lovely soundtracks. And it's just nice to see women being shown as fit and athletic and not being... that they don't need to be wrapped in cotton wool or a sanitary napkin.
It was such a great parallel with the actual experience of getting your period.
Yeah.
It's painful, it's exhausting, it leaves you drained, it's physically not the most pleasant of feelings. But you go on. And that's what the ad showed as well.
Yeah, and that's what it says. Basically, it says don't let your period hold you back, no matter who you are.
Since you were mentioning quizzes, I thought I would share a little bit of trivia that I found this week, and it perked me up. So I have a question for you, Ms. Sen.
Yes.
What do Tuntun, Amitav Ghosh, and Yul Brynner have in common?
I am stumped.
So, dear listeners, if you are not stumped, please send in your answer to contact@newslaundry.com. I will repeat the question. What do Bollywood actress Tuntun, award-winning author Amitav Ghosh, and Hollywood actor Yul Brynner have in common? Send us your answers. If you know, I will do a lucky draw with the ones who have got it right, and you may even get something from News Laundry. Think about that. But with that, we are running out of time.
But the good news is that we'll be back next week with more fun and not so fun finds from entertainment.
And you can write in to us at contact@newslaundry.com with your comments, suggestions, answers.
And my trolls can feel free to tweet to us also. But
yes, we are both on Twitter, but you know, some of us need more love. If you are in the mood to subscribe, that would be fabulous. So, because as Hafta listeners will know, there is one Abhinandan Sekri who has put it very well. When corporations pay, corporations are served. And when the public pays, the public is served. So please support our independent media. Support News Laundry. If you don't like us, support somebody else. But we will be very heartbroken if you don't support us. So please subscribe. And thank you, Rajashree Sen.
Thank you.
We will be back next week. Until then, it's a wrap.
Catch all new episodes of the Awful and Awesome Entertainment Wrap on newslaundry.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter.